Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Hi, I'm Henry Davis, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland, a Bible-believing, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led congregation. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast. And remember, there's power at the park.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, is where we turn our spotlight, beginning at verse number 10, and then this service I'm reading down through verse number 17. I read a shorter version last night. New Living Translation. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. They long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it.'" I thank God that I can hear now. And we can go to your seats around the building, even in the presence of our God. We come back to verse 13. "That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand." They don't really listen or understand. New insights from the master. New insights from the master. I'm dealing with a series of messages surrounding Jesus and justice and how the church must be socially relevant. We're just not behind the stained glasses, but we have to make a difference in the very world that we are in. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are affected by worldly things, and the world has become even more worldly. Now, the infusion of technology. In this past week, we've heard about vaping and how so many persons are being slid into an addiction, and even in some cases leading to death because of now the new fad of vaping. Not unusual. We look at persons and we hear about pro-life agenda. Pro-life in the womb, but not necessarily pro-life after the birth. Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly." So how can I have a productive life when poverty is growing? I was recently in Atlanta, Georgia, And I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and of course we can celebrate the wonderful sights of Atlanta, whether at the King's Center, whether looking at Ebenezer Baptist Church and the great history of Martin Luther King Sr. and Jr., looking at those great impacts and all of the great historical things that surround Atlanta, the ATL, Hotlanta, all of that. But then at the same time, we can look at how people of color are doing so well, living large in places like Buckhead and being able to enjoy the bounty of productive living. But I saw something in Atlanta that I had never seen before. Of course, you see poverty, and I've been spending years going in and out of New York City and all of that, and in our urban centers, and not even footsteps from this church, you can find persons who will stand at the corner and try to get a donation. But what was unusual in my trip to Atlanta is I was coming off of a exit on the highway, and I was coming around the exit on the highway. It is not unusual for sometimes for you to get to the end of that corner and see someone standing there asking for a donation. But as I hit multiple exits in the city of Atlanta, I saw a line around the entire corner, men, young men and women, not just one at the end, but persons all around the bend, coming around the bend, almost standing there like a food line, reminding us of the realities, because now you are dealing with tax cuts by a person who won't even show you his taxes. And we're dealing with those reality of that top group that's getting a tax cut, and matter of fact, but not looking at how we can impact those around us. All around us, there are Dorian is bearing down on the Bahamas, but our White House occupant is playing golf. And so you realize that that's the kind of mentality, the kind of agenda that we are dealing with. And so I want to say to us that even with all of the things going on, the Master Jesus can give us an insight. Give us an insight, Jesus, the insight. The insight is one of the reasons why I come to worship, because the Bible says to forsake not the assembling. That is a necessity for me to be in worship. I can kick off my week in a strong way. I can understand that where I am weak, he is strong. I can understand that where I feel like giving up, God says, I feel like telling you to go on. And so this ends up the insights from the Master. And here it is that Jesus is in dialogue. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is communication. Prayer is talking with God. But at the same time, it is also listening to his voice. But you got to know his voice to be able to realize it's the voice of God. Because there are a lot of voices that will try to get into your head. I like those old cartoons where on the cartoon it would have an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder. And you knew who the devil was because he was red, had a pitchfork and all of that. And you knew who the angel was because the angel would have a halo and some wings. But I've got to tell somebody who is in the room that I'm thanking God that God can move in our situation. Now, I got to press that thing, because many times when we look at this conversation with Jesus, we look at it in black and white. We're reading the Bible in black and white. But you need to understand that the Jesus that they are talking about is a Jesus who understands social conditions. He understands social social conditions. You know why he understands? Because someone was trying to take his life. And when they got ready to take his life, they had to hide him in the hood. They had to hide him. They could not have taken him to a place that was filled with persons with long white hair, long flowing hair, and white skin. You have to realize when they took Jesus, they had to take Jesus to Northern Africa. And so many times when you are looking at Jesus, you are looking at Jesus from a wrong perspective. He can understand your situation. He had a hair like lamb's wool. Now, you know what your hair like lamb's wool is like? That's before the process. That's before the straightening. That's before all of that. He said he had hands, he had hair like lamb's wool, and his skin was bronze. It was burned skin. And matter of fact, the kind of skin that is able to take care of the sun. So you got to realize God can understand your situation. I preached a sermon about Joseph and Mary, and I was painting the picture of Joseph as a brother who was at the door with dreadlocks, and he was coming in, and they said no room in the inn, because you know people of color, you saw outside that it said vacancy, but when you came in it said no vacancy. Look at how society has shifted, because we look at those old movies and we think that racism is dead and gone, but now they are not coming out at night burning a cross, wearing a hood. They are showing up in the daytime wearing a suit, my God, having a white shirt and a tie, that they don't have to hide racism. But I thank God that we can still get insights from the master. Insights from the master that allow me to know that no matter how difficult things might be, I will put my trust in God. Trust in God. So Jesus is laying out for the disciples, because every time you're around Jesus, he can teach you something. He can teach you something. And there's really three areas we're going to look at in this message. Number one, readiness for God's word is a wonderful starting point. I got to be ready. I'm ready, whatever it is. And I know there are some people who came into this sanctuary with a sense of readiness. I'm ready to hear what God wants to say to me. I'm ready not only to hear, but to do. I want to get my marching orders. I want to get my marching orders. Matter of fact, I was messing with the folk in the earlier service, because I asked everybody from Virginia State to stand up, and everybody who went to Virginia State University, I had them to stand up. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna even put it in, if there any Virginia State folk in this service, you went to Virginia State, you can stand up right now. You can stand up if you went to Virginia State. A few folk went to Virginia State. Now, there were more in the earlier service. I thank you so very much for standing up. And the reason why I had them stand up is because Virginia State played Norfolk State yesterday, and Norfolk State the score was 44-21. So I wanted to be able to, but one thing about HBCU football, there's nothing like HBCU football, because there's nothing like halftime at an HBCU. Matter of fact, socializing, man, you spend the whole game with your back to the field, you talking to people in the stands and all of that, and then it becomes halftime, and at halftime everybody will turn their attention to the center of the field, and there's nothing like the drum line. But also a part of HBCU football is the drum major. I thank God that the drum major who can come out there, and the drum major comes up there high stepping. Everybody looked at the drum major with his high hat. But what I'm trying to say to somebody is that God wants to be your drum major. I'm going to kick that thing off. And so Jesus is in dialogue now. And as he's in dialogue, he's speaking within parables. And you know what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so there's got to be a readiness. A readiness for God's word is a wonderful starting point. But number two, the Holy Spirit nudges us in the direction that we need to go. Not that you want to go, but the way you need to go. There are things that we can selfishly want to do ourselves, but we want to make sure that I'm in the will of God. The Holy Spirit is nudging me. And some folk are not going to go forward unless you get a nudge. That thank God for some of us in the room right now who had parents who nudged us. Matter of fact, somebody said, you being too nice. They did more than nudge me. They pushed me. They pushed me and pulled me and get on out of that bed. Come on, you going to do something with your life. You going to pull those covers off of your head. I don't care what kind of things that you're going through. I want you to stand up, put your shoulders back, have a positive attitude, and know that God will bring you through. But number three in this message. We should learn from our mistakes. Every one of us have made mistakes in our lives. We're not proud of the mistakes that we have made. We have to live with some of the mistakes that we've made. We can't change our past, but we thank God that we got to learn from our mistakes. We learn from our mistakes, and we can also learn from the mistakes of others. Well, let me back this bad boy up, and let's look at it and unpack the text, because it is here in Matthew chapter 13 that there has to be a readiness for God's word. It's a wonderful place for us to get started. Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go. And I thank God that yes, we're going to go to the polls and we're going to vote. We're going to make sure that our testimony does not stay within these walls, but that our testimony will go beyond the walls, touch the lives of people. You can't be an undercover Christian. Folk ought not be surprised that you know the Lord. But in verse number 12 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. I want, if you're listening to me, I want you to understand. I want to have the abundance of knowledge, because as I have, you know, knowledge is power, and a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I thank God that when you have a little talk with Jesus, he can make everything all right. In your midnight hour, in your lowest point, now we're living in a world where suicide has become an epidemic. But I've come to tell somebody, but if you've been thinking about something as dark as that, you need to know there's help that's right by your side. You don't have to do something to your body. My God, the other day I was talking about Atlanta, but as there was a story that hit the news in Atlanta, that there was a doctor of African Americans, there was a black doctor, both the man and the woman, husband and wife, were doctors, had a successful practice, doing well. Their daughter was doing a internship with NBC in New York. The son had just gotten his MBA, and here they are with all of this black wealth going on. They just took an international trip, were able to take post pictures over there in Italy, having a wonderful life. But then they come back to America. The husband and the wife now separated, divorced, going their separate ways. But the mother is in a dark place, in such a dark place that she is there in the house and ends up having dinner with her daughter from New York, who was doing an internship with NBC, and a son that had an MBA. You know, they had to work hard to get to that point. And here it is that she ends up killing her own children and then murders herself. She kills her children, then murders herself. Now, we know that before, that's some white folk did. Not folk who have been there. But now you look at how sin is, because sin does not have a color. And what happened in this thing is that the husband, ex-husband, had now started
started a new relationship, but the wife, the ex-wife, wanted to get back at him. And the way to get back at him was to take her children out of here and also take her own life. Well, I've got to help somebody that don't you ever get to such a dark place that you think that the only way out is to take somebody's life and then try to take your own life. It's a dark world, but that's the world that we live in. But I still say you can get new insights from the Savior, new insights from the Savior. I'm thanking God that I'm getting new insights every day, because in the last couple of weeks, I've lost two dear friends of mine, both of them 58 years old, both of them pastoring churches. One preached a sermon on last week. After he finished preaching, they had a barbecue after his church. They went down to the Asbury Park, New Jersey boardwalk, out there eating Italian ices, and then he dies of a massive heart attack the next morning. One of my dearest friends. We go back to the 70s together. We pledged the same fraternity. I saw him the very day he gave his life to Christ. I was there when he preached his first sermon. I was there when we were having dialogue about how he was going to have a call on his life. I was there when he met his wife for the first time. He laid his eyes on her. She laid her eyes on him. I was in his wedding. He was in my wedding. But next week I got to funeralize him, who always, he was an athlete, a star athlete, always with good health. But you have to understand that none of us have come here to stay. No matter what goes on in this life, you could feel real good right now and you could have just gotten a clean doctor's report, but it does not matter, because life and death is all in the hands of God. I'm trying to help somebody that even in a dark moment, God can give you a new insight. Even in your lowest moment, that God can throw out the lifeline. Do I have a witness out there? You need a lifeline. You have dealt with all kind of trouble, all kind of confusion, but I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Thank you for the insight, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you, there are some things, the verse number 11, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. There are secrets, come on, there's secrets that God can share with you when you are open to him. I want to those who will listen to the teaching, those who want more understanding, I want them to understand more. I want an abundance of knowledge, not just for myself, but I want the kind of knowledge that can bless other people. But the second thing is, the Holy Spirit is nudging us in the direction that we need to go. He wants you to go in a certain direction. And as I'm moving in that direction, I have the protection of God. By moving in that direction, the 14th verse has that answer for me. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. And the reason why I will not understand is I'm not connected to him. When you are connected to God, it will bring a level of understanding. I thank God that even when I don't know what's around the corner, but I do know who controls the corner. I thank God that he is a very present help. No matter what my trouble is, no matter what my issues are, I will bless the Lord at all times. I've come in here with praise on my lips and thanksgiving on my heart, because when I look back over my life, I can thank God for every mountain, every valley, every time you've dealt with a storm, but God has walked you through the storm. Do I have some folk in here who understand God can show up in your life? He's a great God. Oh, yes, he is. The fairest of 10,000, the bright and the morning star. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. for realizing that there are things I need to understand. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, you have already raised this thought, but Jesus says, I want to reach back into the well, because I thank God for the well. The well is the word of God. That's why you've got to memorize the word. Thank God for discipleship and classes that we take, because every now and then you're going to have to dig into that well, the well of experience. You don't know why you learned that scripture. You don't know why you remember the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. You don't know why it's in your spirit that Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You don't know why you got Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You don't know why I know the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I thank God for every minute they did it to you for evil, but God turned it around for good. You don't know why you got it, but I thank God for the insight. I can go back to the well and bring a fresh word, a fresh anointing. I look at a woman who had an issue of blood, but just had a little touch with Jesus. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, everything will be all right. I thank God today. There's some folk in here that are all right. It's all right with me. It's all right with you, because I'm connected to the power of God. I love him. Oh, yes, I do. And the last thing you got to know here, I thank God for being nourished. I thank God for being encouraged. I thank God for being strengthened. I thank God for you showing me the way. But then the last thing is, we should learn from our mistakes. We made mistakes, but I thank God that he can take your mistakes. He can erase your mistakes, deal with your situations. Oh, yes, he can. Verses 16 and 17, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. Yes, Lord, there were a whole lot of people who would love to walk in your shoes, be where you are today. But since you are in your shoes, you ought to give God the glory. I'm not in the cemetery. They're not planning my funeral, but I'm alive. I got breath in my body. And David said, everything that has breath ought to praise the Lord. Good afternoon, Highland Park. May the Lord bless you real good. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul got to cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I will praise his name. I will give him the glory. I will lift up my hands, open up my mouth, and praise his name. Yes, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Yes, 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 yes. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? All right. New insights from the Savior. He wants to open up your mind, open up your spirit to the greater things ahead for you. But you can't get to greater without connecting to the greatest. I gotta say that again. You can't get to the greater without connecting to the greatest. Muhammad Ali was not the greatest. Sugar Ray Leonard was not the greatest. But I know a God. Come on, somebody. Who's the greatest? Somebody said, I thought it was LeBron. Well, LeBron broke down last year. But I thank God for Jesus. I said, I thank God for Jesus. He will not break down. Hallelujah. I will trust in him. I can lean on him. Can nobody, 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 nobody do me like the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. New. I'm new. I'm new. And that's what's going to happen in our school year. Our students are going to get new insights. And in the school of life, you get new insights. Every day with Jesus, sweeter than the day before. Somebody's out there today. You want to give somebody a praise?
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. If you want to receive a CD or DVD of what you have just heard, please call 301-773-6655 or visit us on the World Wide Web, fbhp.org. And remember, there's power at the park. I run.